Hello, everybody. It's Marcy from wavesofcommunication.com. Welcome to 2021. This year, the theme on our platform is positive action. The information I provide is designed to equip and empower parents and caregivers to take at least one conscious, focused, positive action today toward helping your child shift from nonverbal communication into unprompted spoken language. There's no time like now to make the necessary changes you need to see the success that you want for the late talker in your life. So let's get started. Today's video, I'm going to be describing five strategies that you can use when you potentially, every late talking parent experiences this at some point, some parents to more degree than another. And this is the situation I'm talking about, is when kids are not interested in engaging with you. They're spending time in their own world. And I use that in quotes because it's just a way to describe the condition, the situation that happens when kids isolate themselves away from the people who are around them. And it's a common struggle that parents have on my platform, both people who I work with as clients and also other families. So hi, Chloe, nice to see you. I know that there's folks who are following me. My live is a little off today on my schedule time. I had to do some computer things, but hopefully these strategies are going to help you. And before I get started, really quick, I want to remind everybody watching about what another way that you can learn about language facilitation on my platform, and that is my podcast. So what I'm going to show you really quick is this is my podcast. It's called Language Facilitation Helpline. It's available everywhere podcasts are. Apple, I post it through one platform and it goes out all over the place. So wherever you listen, Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to your podcasts, you can hear my Language Facilitation Helpline podcast. And most of the things that are up there are replays of videos that I've done on YouTube that are edited for an audio version, and also interviews with parents are all over there on the Language Facilitation Helpline. And if you want to join me on the Language Facilitation Helpline, you are welcome to do that. What I do is I interview parents. I know that there are people who are following me who are benefiting from my strategies and are not in a position to be able to work with me as clients, but you still might benefit from some additional one-on-one coaching time. And that's what the podcast does. It helps you give back to the Waves of Communication community, all of us who are watching, by sharing your story and your experience. You don't have to even get live with me on camera. All you do is share your voice, and we talk about your situation, and we talk about language facilitation and the kind of strategies that you would need to help you get over what's potentially blocking you right now. And so I think that's how most parents use my platform, is they come on and they start searching for videos on topics that they're looking for. And most parents, I think, end up probably listening more than they watch, because they've got it on while they're doing other things and they're kind of using video like podcast. Although on the videos, I do provide slides with visual. So if you're an auditory learner, the podcast is a way to go. And if you want to join me on the podcast, this is the video for you to go ahead and put a comment right now. Just tell me, I want to be on your podcast. And what I will do is I'll send you a link to join, to answer some questions on a survey. And that's how we'll connect, and I'll get you set up for recording time so that you can be on my podcast. So I welcome all parents to do that. And again, I'm always looking for people to interview, because your stories, all of you watching me on these videos, your stories inspire me to create content to help you. It's my goal to equip and empower you to solve the problems that you have in your everyday life related to your child's late talking. And that's what this video is. So let's get into the strategies that I have today. This big problem that a lot of parents have, not all the time, sometimes it happens inconsistently, and sometimes kids really get into a funk where over a period of time, could be days, could be weeks, could be months even, that they tend to migrate more to being on their own and on their own. And it happens for different reasons, okay? And so what we're going to talk about today is when you see it happening, what you can do to get your language facilitation back on track to help your child start listening better so that they can learn to talk, because your child's not going to learn to develop their own spoken language unless they are continually listening to the people around them talking. If they spend a lot of time in their own head, they're not getting the language models. They're not paying attention to them. You might be talking to them, but if they're in their own world, they're not paying attention to you, right? So you need some strategies when you see, whoa, I'm talking to a wall here. My child's not paying attention to me. What are you going to do in those situations? Okay, so what we're going to do first, we're going to go through these different five areas. And let's get into the first one that we're going to talk about. And this one actually has a process to it, this strategy. And it's the number one thing that you absolutely must do if you find yourself in a position where your child is not paying attention to you, they're in their own head, okay? And that is, you have to understand what's going on in that little head, right? You have to understand their unique motivation and mindset. What are they thinking about in there? If you want to reach in there and get to their space so that you can encourage them to come out and join the world, which is what language facilitation is, you've got to understand what they're thinking about. So this is how you do it. Five steps in a row. Number one, observe your child doing their favorite activity. Now, when I talk about observing, I mean, don't get involved. Watch from afar, see them doing it. If they're spending time in their own world, they're not going to be paying attention to you. They're going to be paying attention to whatever they're doing, and you want to watch them. Watch carefully to see what they're doing without judgment, okay? When you observe, you're observing to collect information, because remember, this is a really important caveat here. When you're observing, most parents immediately want to go into judging that behavior. But what you're going to do instead is you're going to analyze it, okay? And it's a difference between understanding and judging, right? So you want to, here's how you're going to do it. Remember, this is a process. First, you observe your child doing their favorite activity, and then you're going to try the exact same activity for yourself, to do the same thing your child is doing for yourself in the same way. And by exact, I mean exact. If your child is eating ketchup on rice and you want to find out why they are choosing to do that, you need to eat it yourself. If your child is running around flapping cords or flapping their hands or doing whatever, you need to observe that thing. Remember, this is what your child is doing on their own when they're not involving you in their activity. What is that activity? Remember, a lot of the time, if they're around you, they're trying to communicate with you. This is different. This is when they are consciously not. They are in their own space, not paying attention to you at all. When you observe and understand what they're doing, then you're going to know how to work with it. So you observe it first, and then you do it yourself. And then what you do is you think about, analyze the sensory input that your child is receiving. How does it taste? Is it sweet? Is it sour? Is it spicy if it's food, right? How does it feel to you if they're staring at the ceiling fan or running around? What is your body feeling when you do that thing that your child is doing? If they're sitting by themselves in the corner, banging two blocks together, that's what you need to do, but you need to feel it when you're doing it. So you're analyzing the sensory input. You're not judging it. You're just saying, that's sweet. That's loud. Oh, that's consistent, or that's repetitive, or it's pretty, or it's whatever, whatever you're doing. And you want to describe it in detail. That's what this number four is. Once you feel it, you describe it in your own head for your own self. Okay. This is blank. It makes me feel blank. It's, whoa, I feel dizzy, or ooh, I feel excited. That's the experience that you are going to feel. And chances are, your child is feeling it in the same way. So with your child, you want to talk about how you feel with the sensory experience. Now, what's going to be interesting is, excuse me, when you imitate your child doing this thing, you're going to be behaving like they behave. And it's going to get their attention. They're going to say, wait a minute, that's mine. That's my thing. That's my activity. That's my toy. That you don't, you're not taking it away. You get your own. If your child is walking around flapping a cord, you get your own cord. You don't take theirs, right? And remember, they're going to observe you doing that because it looks like what they're doing. And they're going to say, wait a minute. They remember what they're doing in their own mind. They're not even thinking about you paying attention to them at all. They're not doing it to show off. They're not doing it to communicate with you at all. They're doing it for their own reasons, to process their own work or in their own head, right? Think about your own self when you do this. When you are in your own world, thinking about whatever you're thinking about, deciding about it, planning about it, what you like about it, what you don't like about it. All of that stuff is going on in your head that makes you smile. You know, you think a thought and it causes your face to do something, right? You think about a time that you stubbed your toe. You're going to go, ooh, you know, you think about a time that you got opened a present or you got your favorite thing that you always wanted and you opened it up and it was there. Your body feels something, right? When you experience things, this paying attention, because remember, a nonverbal child who is in their own world, that's what they're thinking about. They're thinking about how their body feels. They're thinking about the ideas that they had, right? And if they're playing with trains and doing trains, they're probably thinking about trains. But if they're not doing anything discriminate, anything that, you know, looking at a specific book or playing with a specific toy, they're just moving or watching or being quietly. How do you feel when you be or do that same thing? It's very, very important that you understand what's going on in that noggin. And no one else can understand what's going on in your child's head better than you. This activity of modeling what your child is doing is not only going to remind your child that you're interested in what they're doing, that shows them, wow, they do care what I do. They might not care that you care, but they're going to notice it, right? And getting your child to notice you is a first part of getting them to, right, come out of their own world and join your world. You got to be more like them to get them to come out and see you, okay? All right. So let's move into the second one. That's a process you go through, that first one. We're going to show you one more time. Observe your child doing their favorite thing. Doing their thing is what I call it. Try that exact thing for yourself. Analyze the sensory input your child is getting. Oh, this is sweet. This is fast. This is blinking lights, whatever it is. Excuse me. Describe the physical sensory experiences in detail in your own head and then talk about it. All right. Let's move on to the next one. Number two is what you're going to do to help your child move out of their own world and join the world with all the rest of us is to demonstrate what great listening looks like. You want to show your child, remember, if you're modeling, right? All of language facilitation is getting your kids to use the speech that is more like yours and listen more like you and do things more like you. They're growing up to be more like you. They're your kids. You're raising them to be like you with their own flair, with their own personality, of course. But if you want them to be like you, especially good listeners and talkers, you have to show your child what being a good listener looks like. You can't just tell them, sit down and listen. They don't know what that looks like, especially little kids who aren't talking yet. They don't know what it looks like. And they don't even understand what listen means. Because you can't see it. Turn on your ears. You know, a lot of people use these kinds of visual analogies. But the real thing, the way that you demonstrate how listening works is by being a good listener yourself with your child. So whenever they communicate with you, number one, stop what you're doing. Give them your attention 100%. That means put down your device or your phone or your cooking or whatever. Get down to their level where your face is at their level of their face. You're looking at their face. You're not pushy, but you let them know, okay, you are talking to me. So number two, you tell your child that you are listening. Say it out loud in case they missed the cues, the visual cues that you gave them by stopping what you're doing and getting down to their level. You're going to say it out loud to remind them even again. I am listening to you. You are saying something important. So important enough for me to stop what I thought was important to give you my attention. And this is what you expect from your child, right? You expect them to stop playing toys or watching TV or doing video or even eating their food to stop and listen to you. You must give them a demonstration of how that looks if you want them to do it, right? Again, the number three is to be patient with your child while they communicate their message, the whole way they communicate it. If they're using the words, if they're using gestures, if they're using blah, 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 whatever they're using, be patient and let them know, I'm listening, I get you, right? And then here's the other one, the major one, that what great listening looks like is not people putting their own ideas onto someone who's trying to talk to them. It is owning the fact that you don't understand. So if you do not understand your child, you have to tell them instead of saying, you're saying this and you're saying this and you're saying this. If you don't understand, then you're guessing and you're not helping. You're not turning on your listening. You're turning on your talking. And if those listening ears that your child is expecting from you to have on, you've shut them off because you're trying to say, you want this and you want this and you want this and you want this, right? Don't ask them to clarify, no questions. Just say, show me. I don't know what you're saying. I know you're listening. I'm trying to understand what you're saying. I'm being patient with you, but I don't understand these words or this gesture or that crying or that whatever. Please show me. Show me what you want. I want to know what it is. Remind your child that you want to know. That way, they will try to tell you. But if you start answering their questions for them and saying things for them, you've shut off your listening. You want this, you want this, you want this, right? That's how kids learn what to do. They got a problem. And if you don't understand their problem well enough, you're going to give them solutions they don't like. And then they're not going to come to you to solve their problems anymore because you're not a good listener. You're showing them that you're not a good listener. It's very important that you show your child that you are a good listener so that they want to talk to you, because that's another reason that kids will stay in their own world. If every time they come to you, they have to do a job in order to get what their need met, like you want to open something, or they want the video, or they want the cookie, or they want the whatever, and they got to do something to get that every single time, they're going to quit coming to you and they're going to start doing it on their own. They're going to be in their own world, problem solving it in their own head. They don't need your help, right? That's what your child is showing you by being independent, that they don't need your help because your help doesn't help them, right? They need help, but not the help that you're accustomed to giving them. They remember the patterns. You see, so if your child is remembering patterns, you want them to remember the pattern of you stopping and giving them attention every time they try to communicate with you. Think about how much you're ignoring your child, and stop doing that and give them attention, and you'll see a difference. You'll see a difference. That's why this strategy works so brilliantly, so brilliantly. All right, let's move on to the next one. Number three is to analyze all of your child's communication. Analyze, not judge, just like that first slide. Number one, all behavior is communication of one of these three ideas, right? All behavior is communication. We've talked about that over and over and over again. But what is it? What's the category of thing that your child is trying to communicate when they come to you? Are they communicating that they have a problem? Are they communicating that they found a solution? Let's do this. Remember, you communicate your solutions to your child all the time. So your child's going to communicate solutions with you, right? Or is it social? Just their opinion. I like that. I don't like that. Or I want to show you this thing that I know. You know, I want to show off for you. I want to whatever. I'm going to show you that I know how. That's what teaching means. Mom, look at me. I'm going to show you how well I climb, ride a bike, do whatever. Okay? Because they want from you the social opinion. right? They're trying to facilitate that. That's what they will prompt you to do, right? Now, a lot of our communication is internal, a lot. People like me, I'm someone who's in my head all the time, right? And it's not meant to be interpreted by others. The more time we spend alone during this lockdown time without community, without friends, without your mom group, without your waiting in line at the grocery store, we don't talk to people anymore because we're being safe. And because we don't have those experiences anymore, we get out of the habit of talking about it. So it's really important that you remember your habits, remember your communication habits, and pay attention to all the communication that's coming in from your child, right? So all the reasons that your child is communicating, even if they're communicating, obviously you respond right away to their problems. But when they show you, here, mom, use this thing, or I want to wear my boots today, that's their solution to their problem. They've already thought about what their feet, you know, what they've decided what they want to wear on their feet, and they've come out to show you their solution. And they're doing this because that's what you've demonstrated to them over and over and over again. Try this, do this. You should do it this way, because all you do is give solutions to your kiddo as a teacher and a parent, right? So your kiddo's going to start coming up with their own solutions for their own problems, and you're going to see that demonstrated in their behavior. And the whole process to work out what that solution was, I think I'll put my boots on and go show mom that I'm ready for the rain today. That all happens in your child's head. They don't talk about it with you, just like you decide to wear your boots on a rainy day in your own head. You don't discuss it with people, typically. Right? Unless you're discussing the fact that it's raining and you're trying to make a decision and you want to be social with that person. So remember, even if your child is spending time on their own, it doesn't mean that nothing's going on. Just because they're not talking to you doesn't mean that they're not thinking about and analyzing and solving these problems on their own. That's how their little brains are working to grow, to develop, to be their own thinkers, to not rely on you to prompt them and guide them through their day all day. They're trying to come up with their own way to live their life. What's the right way? What are the patterns? How am I supposed to be doing this? That's what your kiddos are thinking about, just like you are when you go to work. How am I supposed to be doing this spreadsheet? How am I supposed to be doing this video, just like I do with you? Your child's thinking about how are they supposed to do stuff. And when they do it the right way, they get the outcome they want. And so they learn. And that's how all this goes. And all of this behavior, when you understand what it is, you say it out loud. So that's what you got to do. Your child's self-talk, that's how they're going through this stuff in their brain. And it tells you what they're listening to and what they're thinking about. So pay attention. Don't stop it. Never, never stop your child's self-talk. If they're talking out loud to themselves, those are clues for you. Then you know what they're paying attention to. You know what they're listening to. And then what you need to do next is identify when your child wants you or whatever, right? You want to let them know, I'm here. I'm doing it. I'm right there for you. That as soon as you want me to understand something, I'm right here to listen to what you have to say, okay? All right, moving into the next strategy, we're going to get into 23 number 4, is when you guess the message, okay? So what you're doing is you're analyzing your child's behavior to figure out what the message is. Is it a social message? Are they teaching you something? Are they telling you something? Whatever. And when you see it, say it out loud, but not as a question. This is, again, going back to that first thing where you're judging. Did I get it right? Did I guess you right? Did I? Do you? None of that is necessary. In fact, the opposite is necessary, a descriptive statement about what you see, because that's what you understand is going on in your child's head. So you want to say it out loud so your child learns the words for what's going on in their head. And here's some clues. You want to say the words that your child needs for their exact message. So if you see a feeling because you see it on their face, like that they're upset, you want to say something like bummer, or, you know, yucky, come on, you know, all of that kind of thing. You want to be saying those things Instead, so that your child can, the next time they make a face, you can be like, bummer, that's a bummer, isn't it? And you talk exactly why they are bummed out. It's a bummer that we can't go outside when it's raining. Ooh, that ice cream is so yummy. Ice cream tastes yummy. Ice cream is cold on your mouth and it feels so yummy, right? All of the things. Ooh, yucky. That tastes yucky. You don't like how that broccoli tastes with the cheese on it. Let's get you some with no cheese, right? If that's the kind of stuff that your child wants to hear you say, okay? And then the other things that they're saying, they need their exact message. If they're yanking on you, come on, come on, mama, come on, come on. That's what they want to say. So you got to model that stuff for them. If they say hello over again or saying your name, mama, 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 you got to say, oh, you don't want it tomorrow. You want it now. You want mom to get you that apple washed right now. And so that's the kind of stuff that your child is interested in, because just like when you were doing what they were doing, now you are saying what they are thinking. You were doing what they were thinking because they were doing it. You were doing it. Now you're saying what they were thinking out loud. They are definitely going to start listening to you because they'll agree with you. And in fact, Chloe even said that her little guy, who doesn't talk very much, when she started saying things out loud that her child agreed with, he even will say, yep. And this is a kiddo who never says anything. That's how you know you're on the right track. Your child will start doing more listening. So let's get into the next one. Let me check, make sure I got them all. All right. So what you're going to do, if that's number five, wait, I got to go number four one more time. Yes, this is very, very important. Avoid asking yes, no questions. Do you want this? Do you want that? Do you want this? Do you want that? Trust yourself. Trust yourself. You guessed correctly. Okay. And I guess I guarantee if you say the wrong thing, your child will correct you. And that's what you do. Instead of saying, do you want this? When your child is literally pointing to the chips, you say, I think you want chips. Or you are telling me, in that case, you are telling me that you want chips for a snack. Or I think you want a snack. Let's look in the cabinet and find something for you to have. And then when your child points to it, you say, you are telling me you want the chips, right? So you use these statements that start with these. You look like you need something, something, something. Oh, you are telling me that you do not want to go outside, right? It's really important that you say those words. You are telling me. I heard you. Okay, you made your message known to me. It's very important. And use the words telling and said. You said, you blah, 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 blah. Yeah, he didn't say it with words, but he said it with his actions because you interpreted it exactly. Trust that you interpreted it exactly. And instead of putting the words and waiting for your child to say it, did you want this? Say this. Just go with it, because in those moments, your kiddo's going to learn faster. And if you stop and say, did you want this? Did you want this? I already told you five times, probably, by tugging on you for the past 5 minutes. And you're just waiting for that word to pop out before it drops. This is where you're blocking progress. If you want to push your child away, that's how you do it. If you want to get your child to come to you, you give them what they want. You tell them how to get it, how to ask you, how to show you. Because if they don't have the words to verbally ask you, then when they non-verbally show you, you're going to use these strategies because you're showing them that you're listening and saying, I'm listening. And my job as a language facilitator is to turn what I'm listening to with my eyes and all of the rest of my body, you know, as you slug me, right? I'm listening with my body to understand you're upset about that when you hit me, right? That's how you show your child that you're listening. I get your message, but you ignore that SWAT. You ignore the smile and cuddle and not call it out and say, whoa, that's the cool thing, then you're going to miss it. And that's why we need this number five strategy right here. Number five, express gratitude to reinforce the great listening that you already see your child having. Okay. Number one, watch for unprompted signs of listening. This isn't when you said, turn on your ears, sit down, look at me, mom's talking to you, or you say their name five times. All that is prompted listening. Okay. This is unprompted listening. When you are doing those other strategies I did in these other seven strategies, these other four things, when you are demonstrating to your child what great listening looks like and you're interpreting their words and you're saying them out loud, your child's going to start paying attention to you. They're going to start doing it on their own. And sometimes they do. Everybody experiences this child leaving in your own world with different levels, right? And at different times, it's going to be different. So watch for these signs that your child is listening because you're not prompting. And here's the other thing that I'm going to tell you about. Most parents don't understand their child is listening unless they ask them a question and they get the answer to the question. Or they say, find the whatever, and the kid does it. And then they think because they're not doing those prompted things, either they do it when they don't do it when they ask, or they don't do it, you know, whatever, when you prompt them, that your child doesn't know how to do those things. They will demonstrate to you with their functional behavior that they know how to understand you when you talk to them. You don't have to test it. So stop testing it if you want to see it. Remember, the last video I did was less prompting gets more talking, right? And that's the whole point here. Less prompting, more talking. Less, more listening, better listening, right? So that's it. You want to always, hang on a second. We didn't go back through these five, sorry. Eye contact, even fleeting. If your child looks up from what they're doing to look at you, to look back at what they're doing, that counts as listening. And then you say, number two, call out the exact listening behavior. So when your child is looking at you, you say, well, I see you looking at me. I see you listening. All right. And then keep talking, right? And then if you see your child staying near you, you call it out. I like that you're staying here. You're paying attention while I'm cooking. You're learning while I'm knitting. You want to know what it's like to clean up the living room. I mean, seriously, if your child's staying near you and watching you and observing you, that's listening. Call it out. Number three, if your child is prompting you to talk more, okay? I'm going to talk a little bit about what that looks like. Your child, if you had been prompting your child to say words, and every parent does. They, especially if you stop prompting it really fast, your child's going to start to say more words to get you to say more words. So they might ask you questions. If you were doing a lot of asking questions, they might ask you the same questions that you used to ask them. Like, do you want a cookie? Right? To get you to give them a cookie. And that is them trying to use their own language. And when your child does that, then you want to say the same thing. Well, you've been listening when I was talking about cookie and you're asking me for a cookie. If you see something, say something, because they're going to try whatever they know when you're not prompting them. Okay? They're going to try it and it's not going to be accurate. Then you go to that strategy and say, I don't really understand that. Show me. Then they're going to show you the thing they want and you give them the right words in a language model. That's how this works. The only way your kids are going to move out of prompted behavior is to move into unprompted behavior. And without you prompting them in models, language models, they're going to ask you to talk more. Okay? So, and when you start telling stories and descriptive statements about the things that they are doing, they are going to want you to talk more. So it looks like them talking more, saying single words and asking you questions. It looks like them bringing more things to you, books or stories or things to talk about. It looks like them saying related single words that are not describing their message, but just as a label for the topic of discussion. So they might walk in the room and talk about trains, and it seems very random to you. But what that means is, I want you to facilitate a conversation about trains. I want to be talking about playing about trains right now. Because in his own head, in his own space, in his own world, he was thinking about trains. And he's trying to be social to bring you into the train discussion of his head. Because you're fun. Because you have great language models. And you talk about the things trains do and what's cool about them. And that's language that your child doesn't know yet. Because maybe they're stuck at prompt-based and they only know how to label trains and see what colors they are. But they want to learn more about what trains do and what they're made of and who rides in them and train stories and stuff if they're all into trains. And if they don't know the language for that, they're going to come to you and say things like train, engineer, tracks, go, chugga-chugga, things that they know. They're going to try to prompt you to give them more language. And this is when you know you've got them out of their own world because they have appreciated the fact that you are listening to them, you know what they like, and that you are the source of the fun conversation that they're looking for. They're going to come prompt you to talk to them more because they like how you're talking, okay? Because you're not prompting them. Because you're not pulling stuff out. If it's appealing, they want to join you. Think about it when you're scrolling through your YouTube videos even. You like the ones you like, you swipe by the ones you don't. That's how your child does with every single thing you say to them. Every single thing. If it's attractive, zhunk, it's like a magnet. They stick it to you. If it's not, it's like the magnet's flipped around and the polarity's different and you're forcing them away. Your energy is pushing them away. Magnet energy is a very good way to talk about this. I call it the language facilitation zone. And when you're in the language facilitation zone with your child, they're listening to you, you're providing language models, you're watching them, seeing what's in their mind, understanding what's going on, you're providing language models, and they're trying. They want to keep up with you. They want to be like you. They want to be like you. And you want them to be like you. So show them how to be. Right? That's what all this is. It's not about demonstrating, you know, what somebody else wants or what you want your child to say. It's about figuring out, demonstrating how you communicate about your feelings, your ideas, so your child sees that from you. Show them how to listen, they'll listen. Show them how to talk about what's on their mind, they will talk what's on their mind. But they have to see you doing it way before, with lots of models, before they're going to try it on their own. They have to see it for a long time, days and days and days of 2 to 3 hours every single day of you putting models in. And if your child isn't paying attention to you, then you can use these strategies to start to get there. And you might not get 2 to 3 hours if your child's very isolated, but you can get 2 to 3 minutes. And tomorrow you get 3 to 4 minutes. And then the next day you get 20 minutes because it grows on each other. Because as soon as you consistently show your child day after day after day after day that when they try to communicate with their behavior, which they're doing it. When they come to you to communicate, you show them that you're listening. And you talk about what they're talking about and you give them the language they need and then they're going to keep listening and coming to get more. And that's how all this works. Let's talk about all 5 of these strategies one more time. Number 1, understand. This is how to facilitate listening and speech when your child is spending a lot of time in their own world. Number 1, understand your child's unique motivation and mindset. Why are they spending time in their world and what are they doing while they're there? You got to know what's going on in their little noodle. Number 2, demonstrate what great listening looks like. Not just sounds like, because remember, great listening is a behavior. And you got to show your child what that behavior looks like. Number 3, analyze all of your child's communication. It's a personal communication, like about their physical body. It's talking about their problems. It's talking about their solutions. And it's talking about social things that they either want to share with you and teach you about, like, look at me, or they want to find out and learn from you. They need help, right? That's the reason, socially. Number 4. When you guess the message that your child is communicating, I like it, I don't like it, I need you, I don't need you, whatever it is, say it out loud as a descriptive statement using those I think, I see, I know kind of statements. Number 5, express gratitude for your child's attention. Because when you show them, whoa, I love it when you listen to me, because we get things done. Show your child that you appreciate them listening to you by giving them your attention to, all right? That's how you express the most gratitude. But say it out loud. Just like you tell your child, I am listening to you, tell them thank you for listening to you. Tell them thank you for helping you, right? Even if it's not listening so much, tell them thank you for staying with you when holding your hand in the parking lot. Tell them thank you for following the directions that you gave them in the grocery. Tell them thank you for paying attention. And because that's going to remind them that paying attention is a good thing, that listening to your surroundings is a good thing. And when you show your child that listening is a good thing to you and they come out of their world with you, you will help them come out of their world with other people. They'll always come out for you first because you're the mama, right? So that's how all of this works. All right, I see there's some people joining me. Cynthia and Mary Manga, thank you so much for joining me. And Chloe, all of you popping in and out, this is a really super great video for anybody who has a late talker at home. No matter how much time your child spends in their own world, we all spend time in our own world. And if you're finding this happening more and more and more, then you really want to dig into these strategies because you can turn this around. Just, you know, my child's in a funk or spending time on their own, or he doesn't want to see me. It is 100% your responsibility to keep your child, to get and keep your child's attention and provide the 2 to 3 hours of language they need every day. That's not, those two jobs are something that you cannot farm out to anybody. No therapist is going to teach your child to listen to you. No therapist is going to teach your child to behave the way that you want them to behave in your household, to follow your rules, right? No therapist is going to be able to do that. You as a family do that. You make your rules, you help your kids understand them. And if your child's not participating with your family because they're spending time in their own world, these strategies will help you get them, because you can't get language unless your child is in the world with all of us, because that's the whole point of all this, right? Why do we communicate as humans? To share our messages with other people, to communicate our problems when we come up with them, to come up with our solutions for other people's problems when we come up with them, to personally share our opinions about things, and to personally educate others about our achievements and our knowledge. These are the reasons that humans choose to communicate. And none of those things involve memorized repetition of words, none at all. You're teaching your child. If you're testing and doing that kind of stuff, teachers give tests so that they can get information and data that they need to prove that they are doing a good job as teachers. These strategies, your observation, your intuition, your child's spoken language and focus on you, that is the data that you use to determine if your child is making progress. And that's what you pay attention to. That's why video every week and elevating these strategies every week and paying attention to them will get you progress every week, right? And if you have problems with these strategies because your child is really stuck in their own place, I mean, you know, kids who have sensory needs that aren't being met in other ways, there's lots and lots of reasons that people retreat into our own world. Lots and lots of reasons. In my program, this is the number one thing that I train parents to do. Because if you cannot connect with your child, understand what's going on in their noodle, and provide them the language for that, then you're going to be frustrated as a language facilitator parent, because that's what the process involves. And that's why parents are the best language facilitators, because no one can follow the rules in your house. No one knows the rules in your house. You make up the rules in your house. And if you change the rules tomorrow, that's up to you. So it's up to you to create the structure you need in your house, and it's up to you to teach your child how to follow and respond in that structure. And that's what language facilitation does for you. And I equip and empower parents to become language facilitators with videos just like this. There are 370 videos now on my YouTube channel. 2 new videos go up every single week. Plus, there's podcasts that go up every week, at least one every week. The more interviews I do, the more podcasts go up. So if you are interested, I'm going to show you one more time how to reach out to me. This is how you get to be on my podcast, how you get to share your story. and receive a free personal coaching session with me to talk about what do we need to dig into in your life? What is blocking your child's progress? And if you are interested in doing that, this is your opportunity. Either live or on the replay, put your comment now in the comment section and I'll send you a link to fill out to give me some information about you and so that we can connect and I can put you on my podcast. And then other people who watch on YouTube can share your experience and learn, because just like the families that watch me, even the families that are in my program watch these videos every week because I continually am solving problems. It's all about figuring out what's blocking your progress, because natural spoken language comes on its own. There's no pulling it. That's why it's called language facilitation, because you're facilitating the language to come on its own. You're not pulling it out. It's not therapy, word pulling out. That's not what it is, right? Everybody gets it. You all get it. One more time, I'm going to show you my book. This is my book. It's called If It Isn't Fun, It Isn't Fun, Teach Your Child to Talk Faster Than Speech Therapy. You can access it on Amazon. In paperback, in ebook, on audio file, you can watch podcasts, you can watch videos on YouTube. And if after all of that, you want to know more, you want specific guidance, you want me to tell you exactly how to get your kiddo talking as fast as possible, usually within weeks, and elevating their speech, no matter how old your child is, from 18 months all the way up to 18 years. I have clients right now in the program. And this is what you can do, right? So, and that's the other thing you need to understand. You can do this. Every single parent can do this. The strategies in every single one of the videos that I do will help you see a difference in your child. So you can watch one video and you'll see a real difference if you follow up and do the strategies. Because remember, I can't teach your child to talk while I'm sitting here on the video. In fact, I can't teach them to talk as well as you can. Parents are the best language facilitators. And if you dig in right now and use the strategies on this video, you will see improvements. So Cynthia says, thanks, Marcy. The book is great. I just got mine. Excellent. Please consider leaving a review. That's the other thing you can do to help me out. I'm trying to get this platform to grow as much as possible. Share this video with other families. Leave a review here if you've read the book, or over on Amazon's even better. That's really great. So thank you so much. I love that you guys appreciate it. And that makes me feel really good and keep me going. Happy Valentine's Day, by the way. Look, we've had this new moon that's come out. We're on the other side of a real downward slide. Everybody's learning these strategies. Their kids are getting it. They'll be getting more comfortable. Hopefully we'll start to get some nicer weather coming and people up north can get out. But I see a lot of people out playing in the snow doing language facilitation. If you live by the beach like me, go to the beach and facilitate language facilitation. Get out and do this with your kids. You can do it. You can. Parents all over the world are doing it. And if you're making progress and you're doing success, I welcome you to join me on my podcast, because it's going to be super fun.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in today. I hope this content has inspired you to create your own positive language facilitation action plan for this week. If you enjoyed this broadcast, you're in luck. There are tons of resources across our Waves of Communication platform, all designed to help you teach your child to talk. There are more than 350 free videos on our YouTube channel, a daily blog on Facebook with opportunities for live Q&A, my book, If It Isn't Fun, It Isn't Fun, available on Amazon, and my coaching programs, including a free 90-minute introductory class. Learn about everything we do for language facilitators on our website, wavesofcommunication.com. If you benefited today, please consider subscribing to the channel and sharing the resource with others. This little exchange is free for you and really helps us grow the platform to reach more parents and caregivers around the world. I'll be back next week with more information and strategies to help you continue on your language facilitation journey. This is Marcy Melzer, intuitive speech and language pathologist, saying bye for now.